Okay, good morning to each of you. See that we have still a good segment of our family here, despite many of us abroad, as is often the case in the holidays, but glad each of you can be here on this unique Sunday. So, like we said, I'm looking forward to jumping into Advent in a little while with our start in Isaiah 40, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, and we'll hear from the first 11 verses there later, but before then, we're going to be looking together, first of all, at just the biblical case for partnership in general, and then specifically an update about what we've been thinking about as pastors for our church being united with the wider body of Christ. So before going into that, let's go ahead and ask for the Lord's leading here on our time, and then proceed from there. Lord, we do praise you for this special time where we can remember the hope that we have, put ourselves in the shoes of those who looked forward to the first coming of our Lord and Savior, and then long for the second coming that we have promised from you. Lord, now I pray that you lead this time we have with family business, as it were. Give us your wisdom and leading, and unite us in purpose and in love and in truth. Amen. So there are going to be two halves in what I'm talking about right now. Before that, actually, for your, you should know the Advent sermon today will be more of a mini sermonette, just in case you get nervous later on. So that'll be short later, but for now, related to the benefits of partnership, the first half of this are things that we're confident about from Scripture, and there's really no question related to. And then the second half is the things we're thinking about, we've been exploring, that we haven't made decisions about finally, and we'll welcome your input related to. All right? So the first half is just the benefit of partnership and the scriptural basis for that. One among many New Testament scriptures that point to that pattern would be Philippians 1, where Paul's talking to the Philippians, and he expresses his heart to them starting in verse 3, where he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Later in that same passage, he says, "I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." So he was experiencing partnership related to the circumstances he was in and his purpose and aim of spreading the gospel of Jesus. So the premise is that we understand from Scripture that Christians are to be partnered with other believers to pursue the maximum testimony of the gospel and its spread. However, just like for individual Christians, it's very easy to be overly independent, overly insular, even though we have that pattern. So it's also easy for churches to be overly independent, overly kind of self-focused, and not as connected with or united with the wider body of Christ as would be ideal for the best testimony of the gospel. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about that dangerous spirit of self-sufficiency. And by contrast, that's where he's talking about the potential productivity that only comes when believers rely on one another and work in harmony together. So, at Cornerstone, we want to see that potential realized to the fullest measure. So, by way of background, most of you know, since the inception of Cornerstone in the 70s, we're part of what was known as, eventually, Great Commission Churches, and we were happy to be part of that affiliation, a rich heritage, and a number of you are familiar with that. However, in 2020, there was a formal ending of the Great Commission Church organizational structure, and leaders decided that would be best at that time. And so since then, we've been seeking God's wisdom on what partnerships with other churches would be most beneficial for the sake of the kingdom. So already, Cornerstone is, of course, on an international level, partnered with a number of missionaries. And that's one way we're fulfilling this vision of being partnered with the broader body of Christ for greater impact. But we want to see that same potential fulfilled more so locally as well, so that we can experience those benefits. So again, what are some of the benefits we're talking about? Well, here are just some. This is not comprehensive, but briefly, uniting with churches beyond a single local church is important for numerous reasons, such as displaying the unity of Christ on a larger scale, and when that's not just one individual church, but more broadly, it gives the world a chance to see the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17, or to see that his testimony about they'll know you're my disciples by how you love one another fulfilled, because it's easier to get along with people like you, and when we are united with people not just like this, like us, that demonstrates that on a wider scale. Other that I'll rush through here, broader outreach impact through partnership and shared resources. Increased opportunities for leadership development and discipleship training just through broader input. Shared resources, whether that's conferences, other leaders giving teaching and input. We've already experienced that in the past and we want to in the future. Then fourth would be increased accountability for pastors in particular, but also for the church's doctrine and practice. If someone else has an input, and pastor is going off the rails, then there's extra accountability for that to be called out. Encouragement and equipping for church leaders is a big reason, big benefit. Six, expanded resources for handling special needs, because God's put gifts in the broader body of Christ that no one individual church body has related to the needs of the saints. Seventh, an expanded network of relationships for fellowship, counsel, and comfort. And those are the ones I have listed there. You could maybe think of others. One more that's not listed on that slide would be increased credibility in our culture compared to being a lone island church. I realize that one could cut either direction, because if you think of almost any denomination in the country, it will be negative association and positive. Same with lone churches. So, however, there are passages that talk about doing what is right, not only in the sight of God, but as much as possible in the sight of other men under God's will. So those would be like 1 Timothy 3:7 or 1 Peter 2:12. So the issue of credibility is one factor. Okay, so that's all related to things we can be confident about. And then the second half here, again, will relate to things we're still exploring. So up until now, what Cornerstone has done in the last couple years has continued in relationship and communication with several other former Great Commission Church leaders in the general geographic region, Kansas City, Lee's Summit, Columbia, Missouri. But as pastors, we've determined that the potential for maximizing ministry fruitfulness in the ways that we've outlined in that slide, they're not being sufficiently realized through only those relationships alone. And we really value those long-term relationships with those other churches, but we want to look long-term about what's best and what will promote the greatest health and growth to the church and impact to God's kingdom. So, as of now, after exploring various options, we're considering partnership in some ways with the Southern Baptist Convention as one that could maximize some of these benefits that are outlined. And then more specifically, we're looking at connecting in some ways with the Kansas City, Kansas Baptist Association of Churches. Now, why them? I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear SBC. For some, it might be ambivalent, maybe positive, maybe negative, depending on your background. And I can understand that, and that's where we're going to have some Q&A. But here are some reasons why we are considering possible association with them in some ways. The SBC has a very strong emphasis on the Great Commission, which we also have a very strong emphasis on. In our DNA as Cornerstone and former Great Commission churches. At the same time, they give individual churches full autonomy in local leadership and church practice. So that means that Cornerstone would be free to retain its spiritual DNA and any healthy distinctives that we have as a church. Great freedom for that autonomy, as opposed to being forced into one particular mold. Then also, the SBC has a statement of faith that is sound, but it's broad enough to be agreed upon by a wide variety of churches that can work together. Next, although many denominations in the United States have strayed over the decades from Orthodox Christian belief, the SBC is still committed to the infallibility of Scripture and the historic Christian faith as delivered by Christ and the apostles. And then, they do have a wide variety of resources dedicated to supporting congregations and supporting missionaries and church planters and providing care for those in crisis through natural disaster. So a lot of resources dedicated to serving the church. Now, the thing is that with any group as large as the SBC, there are going to be churches and individuals who we don't think represent Christ very well and who we would rather not be associated with. And actually, that's true of the universal body of Christ, if you think about it. All of us can probably think of professing Christians or groups. They're like, I don't want to be associated with that particular leader or that group. So that may be true with SBC. However, there is a strong local group of pastors and churches in the area that we see potential benefit from being associated with. Then in addition to that, the local Midwestern Baptist Seminary is a biblically conservative and orthodox institution that hosts excellent conferences, and those are open to all pastors and church members, and that could really greatly benefit the church. I've been to some of those and have been very encouraged and built up myself. And in fact, actually a good number of former Great Commission pastors have decided to partner with SBC. And I've talked to a number of them who report strong benefit from their new partnership. So, we're still in the exploration stage there, or considering and wanting input. But what difference would it even make? What difference would it make? Well, honestly, for many in our church Cornerstone, there might be no noticeable difference in your experience of membership and church life at Cornerstone. For others, there would likely be new avenues for leadership equipping and ministry partnership. But really, the biggest difference between right now and if that did happen would likely be for the pastors in their ongoing pursuit of ministry training and being more equipped for fruitfulness. And then more broadly, because there are so many different SB churches in the area, we would potentially have the discretion to pick and choose which particular bodies we identify with more in their philosophy of ministry, in their doctrine, in their particular outreach, and then decide which ones might be strategic to partner with particularly. So, I would just say in summary, this would be an opportunity to share the riches that God has given Cornerstone with the wider body of Christ, and then to avail ourselves of riches that God has given the wider body of Christ ourselves. And all of that's for the sake of the kingdom advancing. So, what's next? Where are we at? Well, what's next is that we've been continuing as pastors to ask God for wisdom as we explore various options. However, a key element for us is what we're doing now. We've already talked to some of the leaders in the church, inviting input, and now we want input from other church members Because even though we understand from Scripture that a church is to be elder-led, we also believe that one of the key ways God gives wisdom is through the body itself. So we value and invite input from other members of the church and leaders. And that's why we haven't made any final decisions. And it's still that process of seeking God's wisdom and trusting that He'll lead as we work through that process. So that brings us to the present. And we're actually going to take the next segment of time to hear any questions that you might have and then do our best to answer. And so I'm going to invite Blaine up now, as well as my father, and we'll either stand or sit and see whether there are any spontaneous questions that have come to your mind in talking about this so far.
It just occurred to me that probably if we joined, we would be financially, we donate a part of our income to them, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's as Johnny was talking about, the way the SBC is organized, it's very decentralized and loosely knit together. So they have no preset requirement that we would contribute any amount to them. It would be up to us to decide how much that we wanted to send to the local Baptist Association for that. Up until GCC was dissolved 2 years ago, our church contributed 5% of our contributions every month to Great Commission churches in Columbus for the ongoing support of the national ministry there. So I don't anticipate we would be contributing that amount, but we haven't decided yet what that would be. And it's up to us to decide. They give complete discretion to local churches.
$2 per month.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But yeah, that relates to the national structure that they have, missionary sending organization, church planting network, and then disaster relief network, things that they put their dollars to good use for. And so when you partner, there is an expectation that you'll give some, but it's up to you how much.
What was the question that Donnie asked?
Would there be some financial obligation we would have to the Southern Baptist Convention if we were to join at whatever level we join? Is there a question back here? Over there.
But on.
There's two questions. You guys decide. Yeah.
In different big denominations, in conflict with like homosexuality and all these issues, sometimes it comes up in court. If, say, if a lawsuit was laid against the Southern Baptist Convention, how would that affect us? I mean, I'm just assuming they're going to be under attack because if they are still holding the sanctity of the gospel, then they will be under attack.
Yeah.
We don't give legal advice here, but, and not being an attorney, my guess would be that we would not be obligated at all or vulnerable there because of the way the SBC is set up. Every congregation that's affiliated with the Southern Baptist is independent and autonomous, completely autonomous from the Southern Baptist Convention, legally. So there's no legal connection between Cornerstone and any other partnership or entity. So my guess would be, we can find out more about that, my guess would be there'd be no legal impact on us. That's all I can say right now.
For Barney, did you have a question?
Mr. President,
of the SBC? I don't know.
Barber?
Yeah.
Barber. I heard the former president was a
gay affirming and did not disapprove of homosexuality, it's true.
J.D. Greer? Yeah, that would make a big difference, I would say. Yeah. And I've heard, I had a very different impression of J.D. Greer myself. So I'm not sure what your source was on that. But that's very contrasting to my impression of him. Yes?
I don't know if you already made it, but if you did, you can. I just thought it'd be good to clarify the difference between membership and affiliation. And so there are, just to state that. Because we're not doing membership, we're doing affiliation, correct? So that.
Well, we would be affiliating with the Southern Baptist Convention at the lowest level. There's three levels that the SBC operates at: the National Southern Baptist Convention, the state convention. Each state or collection of states has a local convention. So Kansas is in the Kansas-Nebraska convention. And then there's the local affiliation, which is the, Johnny mentioned, the Kansas City, Kansas Baptist Association. And we would be affiliating with that, Kansas City, Kansas. It's called Kansas City, Kansas because it takes everything on the Kansas side of the Kansas Metro. Kansas City, Kansas Association of Baptist Association. Mm-hmm. So we'd be affiliating with them. We wouldn't anticipate that we would be sending messengers to the National Southern Baptist Convention every year, or even to the state convention. We would be affiliating at that lowest level.
Okay, I was just for clarification, just so we all just that's clear.
Right.
Because I was thinking about the messenger aspect of, ooh, does that mean we can send a messenger to the convention?
We could.
You're free. But
I don't know that we would.
Okay, so that is part of the affiliation.
I think if you associate at any level, you can still send messengers to the national convention.
They have influence in the SBC convention.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if you're connected with the SBC, that's part of what that means.
I didn't know what the difference between being an official member church that totally. That's what I thought. Because in our meeting, I thought there was some kind of difference between
affiliation
and actual member.
No, I think we're talking about not two official designations there. There are not, to my knowledge.
There aren't.
No, but rather more a description of what better describes what it is in function. I'm just talking.
I wasn't clear about that either.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about messenger benefit. I didn't know if that was possible because that could be a beneficial thing to take advantage of.
Possible.
Good.
Possible. Yeah. We would see. And just to clarify one thing too, we wouldn't change the name of our church. It's going to be Cornerstone Community Church. In fact, we wouldn't change anything about our church if we were associated with the SBC because they don't require that. It's we're autonomous as long as we are in harmony with the Baptist Faith and Message, their statement of faith, which we are now, and we would be if we were to do that. So, just a second, Matt. Dean, you had a question, I think.
Your question is right on that statement of faith. I don't know how universal this is necessarily or private, but I know a pastor who adheres to what he calls tier one doctrines within the SBC. With his own tier one doctrine, he's an SBC pastor, where he would consider this unity with people who do not hold these tier one doctrines as difficult. And I do not necessarily hold to his tier one, what he is calling a tier one doctrine. I would say it's tier two.
Sure.
How would that play out? Are we just going to see these statements of faith and say, well, vote on it, or I don't know, what's your feeling there?
Well, I'm not sure what the tier one or tier two would be.
Baptism by immersion, I would not consider that tier one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that is part of being Baptist. That's the one way where I think, as far as I know, maybe everyone in the congregation is Baptist already. If you're not, we still welcome you here. There you go.
In the broad sense, yeah.
In the sense that we believe in and practice believer baptism as opposed to infant baptism. And then we welcome people to, participate in our services, be part of the church, if they wanted, if they believed in infant baptism without calling them heretical. But our understanding would be that's an error versus a heresy. And that's even an important distinction. Heretical beliefs are ones that put your soul in danger because they're tier one. And then I would say, you know, that's not a tier one belief because it's not on the same level of the divinity of Christ and the atonement and other absolute essentials. But yes, that's part of why it'd be easy for us because, yeah, although we wouldn't put that particular distinctive of Baptists on the same level of other more important ones, we already believe and practice believer baptism. So in that theological sense, we're already Baptist.
Well, I would say more than just the baptism by sprinkling. Yeah, the infant baptism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a separate one. Sprinkling versus immersion. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, just a second, Dale. Matt, you have a question?
So you guys mentioned it might be more collaboration in ministry. So as you guys mentioned, from what I understood, there's a big variety of different churches within this church. So when we're doing ministry, what steps would we be taking to make sure that we have the same goal as in collaborative ministry as the church of churches that we'd be working with?
Could you repeat the question?
Sure.
When we're doing collaborative ministry with other churches, what steps will we be taking to make sure that we have the same things for sure as the church that we're working with?
Yeah. So how do we ensure unity and truth and in our goal? And I think, Matthew, because there are so many churches, that would be part of our decision of who to partner with. We can't partner with hundreds of churches, or maybe it's 90 in the area. So I think that the process of partnering with any other local church would be organic in that as we are attending some of the leadership training events, we get to know other pastors, get to know about their congregations, and that we would not jump into some collaborative project if we didn't have good assurance that we're on the same page with the goals we're seeking. Because there's no pressure, like, you need to join with this church. Instead, as you get to know them better, you say, oh, we have a lot in common, and this would be strategic.
I want to make a statement that I did not understand why Great Commission dissolved. But in my understanding, God's ways is higher than my ways. He has placed these leaders that are with wisdom seeking God's faith, so I'm accepting that. But it still put me into another quandary in that, well, I think of like their strength in numbers. I mean, we were really becoming much like a denomination, so that it was a little more easier to say, well, what church do you affiliate with? Okay, just look up online GCC or GCAC, and you can read about our denomination. And I still do that because I don't know how to respond. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not true, but it's shady.
Historical.
So that's kind of my quandary, and can you elaborate on that one?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
A couple things there. When my personal experience, when people have asked me, well, you know, what kind of church is Cornerstone? I tell them that we're real similar to the Baptists. I've been in that for years. Because doctrinally, I mean, in broad sense of believers' baptism, you know, that's a big category. We've been that way all along, and we'll continue to be that way. But secondly, I would say that that we probably are in doctrine very similar to most Baptist churches. Now, I know there's a variety of beliefs and doctrine, even among Southern Baptists, within the framework of the Baptist faith and message. But when I've said that, people it's satisfied them. They say, okay, so you're not part of a cult. You're not this. You're not that. It kind of narrows the categories down to something that they can understand. So I've said that already. So I would say that we would continue in that way. When I told people that we were part of Great Commission churches, that said nothing to them.
Right.
Because nobody knew about it. But that was the most accurate. And of course, we had our statement of faith and everything in that book that we'd had in the past. think about how we would respond mm-hmm. to that, I guess, in the future. I wouldn't think of us as a Southern Baptist church. Mm-hmm. I would think of us as a church that's affiliated at some level with the Southern Baptist mm-hmm. Convention, and particularly with the associations here on the Kansas side of mm-hmm. Kansas City.
Yeah, and on that note, even when it comes to web searches, there's a Kansas City, Kansas Baptist Association that I was just looking at their website yesterday, and that'd be probably the one I'd refer people to who ask a question. Then there are other websites, I'm sure, even that they have links to on that one, related to the National or the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Yes. Such a huge organization overall that there are a lot of different directions people could go. But when it comes to the benefit we're seeking and even association I want to have, I'd probably point people to the local website.
Yeah. What website should I direct them to like, if they want to know more?
Mm-hmm.
Should I just say, well, just look at the cornerstone.kc?
There you go, cornerstonekc.org.
Because our statement of faith is on that website.
That's most direct. Rather, well, go to Great Commission Association, yeah. But that's no longer there.
No,
not true.
No, that's right. And there were good reasons why GCC dissolved, and it was voted on by all the pastors in GCC churches across the country 3 years ago that this would happen, and it was quite an involved process in the effort. So, yeah, we can talk more about that not this morning, but it's something
you
want to. But yeah, our website's the best place to go to start with.
Timothy.
I probably don't understand how associating works, but if we associate and then if at any point in the future, for some reason, we just didn't want to associate, is that?
We could do that.
Yeah.
We could separate, yeah. I mean, if they go veering off the rails, like John was talking about, individuals, I mean, if the whole caboodle was doing that, certainly mm-hmm. we'd associate with that, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like if the national, if they veered off their faith and message or just, yeah, kind of compromise in some ways that we think are unacceptable scripturally, then we would want to be free of that association at that point and be free to. But then it brings up another matter, which is the fact that they allow dual association. So we'd also be free if we wanted to associate in other ways. For example, when the Crossroads Church was planted 15 years ago or something, they had both association with Great Commission and Southern Baptist simultaneously, and that was fine with both of them. So it's not exclusive, but it's what, yeah, whatever seems wisest at the time.
Yeah, I think the trend in churches across America, certainly over the last, say, maybe 20 years, maybe longer than that, has been for churches to be associated in multiple ways, in networks. They're not necessarily locked into a particular denomination, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
But associated in networks, which in a lot of ways I think is very healthy. Yep, Corporal.
What are the best arguments against doing this?
Best
you
arguments
tell
against
us.
Doing this?
You tell us.
Can you tell us?
You have in mind?
No, I know. I just wonder, like, yep. This is something, I guess, it yep. seems like this is something that we're about to do, and unless the congregation has
serious questions.
Why would
serious
we?
Questions? So why, yeah, why wouldn't we? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, that is a great question. I'd say one of the things that's maybe a red flag in some people's minds is what comes to people's minds when you talk about Southern Baptists? Just the historic associations with slavery, but even more recent, just the culture, the stereotypical culture of the Southern Baptist Church. That's probably more than anything else what would raise red flag in people's minds.
And related to that, an organization that large with so many churches, diverse churches that are members, some of those churches are going to have questionable practices or scandals, and there's that, I suppose that's a danger of being associated. One of the ways we avoid that is being locally connected rather than overtly, we're not advertising, we are SBC.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's a factor.
Yeah. Probably the only way people just take David. The only way people will know that we're associated with, affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention at any level is there might be a link on our website to that. But we haven't decided that yet even. But otherwise they wouldn't know. That stereotype is what's, I think, the biggest barrier. And I think there's validity to that. At the same time, we don't want to live based on stereotypes or avoiding stereotypes. I mean, if we can, we'd like to burst stereotypes and bring in truth so that people aren't thinking in preset notions but are thinking along the lines of what's right and true.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
I'm just thinking it would be a good idea, you know, that we'd be vigilant about what's going on in the greater organization.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things are beginning to go off the rails. We might need to be wise in what direction to take.
Yeah.
Concerning what direction to take. Because that will, they're in the news a lot.
Yeah, yeah, right now.
And they will continue to be in the news. Some of the news reports probably are true. Some of them, I would say, are probably false.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to be ready to give an answer, I think, at a certain time. And I think it would be wise to do that.
Yeah.
If indeed we do.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
David?
Yeah. Have you guys been considering any other alternatives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhat. An example would be KC Underground, which is a network of churches in the Kansas City area. And we have some things in common with them as well, but it didn't necessarily seem like the best fit in other ways. And then our options are limited. You know, we there's not really any real chance that we consider Episcopalian or Presbyterian, you know, as much as we want to learn from some of those leaders. So I'd say yes and no. There are other smaller groups as well I have positive associations with that I could name off. But in some ways, because of the local connection with the seminary and having met some of the other local leaders, it seems like the easiest fit to walk into compared to some of the others. Yeah? Go ahead.
What are some of the other former
Yeah.
That's a great question. We had an extensive discussion with leaders of the other churches that are in the Heartland Alliance just a week ago.
Yeah.
A week ago or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. A week and a half ago. So far, we're functioning within that alliance, but it's very, very loose, and we don't really have anything that we're doing. A few things we've done, like the women's gathering, which was really great.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some things in the past that we've done here with them, and we don't want to stop doing that. We won't stop doing that. But we had a real serious discussion with all of them about our thinking about this, and there's similar concerns that they have. At this point, none of them are affiliating with anybody else in the Heartland Alliance.
And that's that group, though, particularly Belton, Columbia, and on the other hand, by contrast, Wichita. I had connections with pastors in Wichita and Lincoln.
Great Commission.
Great Commission pastors. And they actually have, it's associated with SBC. So both Lincoln and Des Moines and Wichita have now associated with SBC over the last couple of years. And that's been part of my receiving input as well as talking to pastors I was friends with when they were Great Commission about what their experience has been like. So, and then even before, Cornerstone was part of the Heartland region of Great Commission churches, but then we were working with Wichita and Lincoln some in past years, even though they were in different regions. So the geography wasn't always logical, actually, since Wichita is pretty close and Des Moines not that far, and Columbia is our region. So anyway, I think it's almost a both, and that some of the pastors I knew in Great Commission and my parents' generation are now SBC. And then others in the Heartland are not.
If you have any ideas on the other areas we can explore, we'll sure do that. Other associations or affiliations.
Maybe last.
Do you think it would be
actually, I'm trying to ask you a question, but I think I'm just going to say a statement. Would it be prudent for us, even members, to go through the Baptist faith and message on our own, make sure that we actually ourselves agree?
Makes sense.
Because I think that's part of, I'm just thinking as one of my concerns that I see that happens, that can be happen in the name of unity and getting and working together, is doctrinal explicitness, whether you agree or not. Because if you can be explicit and you disagree, you know why you disagree, and you can still maybe navigate. But the tendency I see a lot of times is to kind of, let's not talk about that, because we got to get unified and we got to get mobilized. But
right.
When you're not unified or mobilized around actually the truth,
right.
And you think you are,
mm-hmm.
So I think it's almost like this would be an occasion, providence of occasion, of, okay, what do we actually believe about this? Is the Baptist faith and message, what is it?
Yeah.
I've read part of it. I don't think I've read all of it.
It would be good to go back and look at that. And what the SBC stipulates, if we were to become affiliated, is not that we is that we would be in harmony with that. Not that our statement of faith is word for word what that is. Just as long as it's in harmony with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm just thinking about the trend of, if not global, at least American Christianity is. Keep your doctrine to yourself.
Yep.
Jesus, just use the name Jesus.
Right.
Who is that?
Right.
That's the kind of thing in my head.
Yeah, it's easy. You can go out and access that, the Baptist faith and message on the internet.
Of course. I know it's easy, but I'm saying.
I'm just saying for the whole.
That are SBC, that, you know, functionally there are already thriving churches that you would never know are SBC.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay. Yeah, Stephanie is pointing out there are churches that at least we as a family recognize by name that we never would have known they're SBC, because whether it's Mill Creek Church or Westside Family Church and a number of others, Lenexa Baptist is a little more clearly connected. But there are a number of churches, not only do you not know that they're SBC, but you don't even know if they're Baptist, because they've chosen strategically not to identify that way publicly. And so, that's just a call based on where you are and who you're trying to reach.
See, and I don't like that. When I look at a website of a church, I want to know what is your foundation. I look at every single link to know. So that I know.
Yeah.
I feel like otherwise, when First Baptist Raytown changes to Connection Point, are you a Baptist or are you not a Baptist? I want to know. Are
sure.
you Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian?
Yeah.
Whatever. So I don't really like the sneaky aspect.
Yeah. I think all churches are trying to both serve other believers in the body and the outsiders that they're trying to connect with, and sometimes there's a tension between that, where non-believers might have a strong negative association with one of those denominations, whereas believers, like, I agree, it's a good thing to know where you're coming from and not be sneaky about it. But I see a tension there sometimes.
I'm sort of cryptic about their values, like, you know, their,
yeah.
But, yeah. I shared that reaction because I want to know too, and I look at everything too. I have to go website and check them out. But those who maybe not overtly in their names, say they're Baptist, but they have a clear link on their website. Yeah, here's our affiliations. I know, like the church in Lincoln lists its affiliations, and there's like half a dozen of them that they're tied to. And so you can go check them all out. I imagine that's what we would be doing. Something similar.
Should probably wrap it up for here now. But
if you have other questions, shoot those to us by email. Any one of the four of us. Mike would be here too. He wasn't. Down with COVID. We would like to wrestle those things, because we're in the process of deciding. It's going to take some time to make it happen anyway, if it does. So there's plenty of time for us to engage in further discussion on that. So please do.